many songs today. Or maybe we did, and I didn't remember. Well, as long as you and Carrie did, that's the important thing. So if you would, we're going to do a one-offer today. We're going to start next week another series, but today we're going to do one for, truthfully, the simple reason of I wasn't ready to start the series. So, and we're going to try something. For those, they're not many. The nature of Tapestry is that there are a lot of us that are younger. Actually, during the summer, there's not as many that are younger because of the fact that we older people are the ones who stay around. We have roots. They don't. I just referred to y'all as they. I'm so sorry. That makes me feel bad now. So what that means realistically is there's not a lot of us that have been around since the beginning of Tapestry, because what usually happens is it all started with younger people, and they grew up and they left, which is beautiful and wonderful, because they are now sharing the love of Christ elsewhere. That's great. That's a wonderful thing. What it means is, you guys, other than Pete and Robin, you weren't here. Adam and Heidi, you were. Jan, you were. Pam was, but she's with some kiddos right now. That's it in the room right now. There are others that were here from the beginning, but they're not here right now. So you don't remember the Gospel of Mark. Why are you laughing? It went on for a long time. Okay, that's why they're laughing. I looked. It was 84 messages.
That's years. So,
wow, Jan. Here I was thinking I really liked it. And the problem is just simply this. That's a long time to do the same message series, and you repeat yourself a lot. But everything we do comes out of the Gospels. So I try to go back to the stories of Jesus all the time, even though we've been reading other things. But it has been 6.5 years since we have done a gospel now. Now, you could say 85 messages was enough to cover a while. We're going to do the Gospel of Luke, which is longer than the Gospel of Mark. But we're going to do it in four different sections. So I say this as in, there were a few people that were like, Robert, we have talked about the Gospel of Mark for a long time now. So we're going to do four, like, 15 sermon segments, and then there'll be series in between. So that's what's coming up. So for the next year and a half, the Gospel of Luke is what you're going to be focused on, okay? But I wasn't ready for that yet, so we're going to do one today that relates to this week. Because since we are an evangelical church, that means we're supposed to do a 4th of July sermon. They're laughing, Carla, because that's not in our nature. We are very much American, but we are not God and country, because it's God. It is God. Country is wonderful, and we should be good citizens because of the fact that we are followers of Jesus Christ. But it's God and nothing. When you get down to the truth, the second you say God and anything else, it's no longer God. It's not God and family. It's not God and country. It's not God and justice. It's not God and anything else. All those other things find their rightful place and become what they're truly meant to be because of a right focus on Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis describes it as in saying that he believes in Jesus like he believes in the Son, not because he sees the Son, but because he sees everything else because of the Son. When we focus on Jesus, we are able to see everything else the way we're supposed to see it. So we are good citizens. The ancient Christians were wonderful citizens. They stood up and pushed Rome to follow Christ, and they took care of the poor when the Romans weren't taking care of the poor. They were great citizens even when they were thought to be bad citizens. But it was because they had their focus on Christ. So, if you would, turn to the gospel. It's not the gospel, excuse me. I was about to say the gospel according to Luke. To Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we're going to read through the 5th chapter. And I'm going to turn on my little clicker. There we go. This is what the word of the Lord says. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For though the Spirit, or through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So, as good Americans, we are going to, I'm going to check and see if my clicker works now. Yay, it does work. So we're going to go celebrate, starting tonight, what? Yes, our independence, and we celebrate that by doing these wonderful things of truthfully, if you're a dog owner, by doing wonderful things that just make your dog nervous. Does Dixie get nervous from fireworks? You So you honestly don't know, but as a parent who is a big fan of Benadryl, I'm completely behind that, okay? I think Adam has the sniffles. Benadryl. Guys, do you guys have fireworks often out by you guys at all? Okay, good. Isn't it? Because I don't know if Keely gets nervous or anything else. Sunshine, does Sunshine get nervous? Okay, so dog owners, you know. Millers, do you have a dog? I actually don't know if you have a dog. What's your dog's name? Kessa. Tessa. Tessa. From like Tesla? Yeah. You guys are big fans of Tesla. I know, but that was. Oh. Why would you think that? So, does she get nervous?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know the terror that it is of, oh gosh, I hope they don't do it tonight. And then what you find out is instead of celebrating on the 4th of July, they go, well, it's June 30th. That's as good a day as any to do. See, we celebrate our independence. And we celebrate our freedom, because this is America, okay? This is where we are, the land of the free, the home of the brave and the land of the free. And freedom is not just a patriotic theme, it's a biblical theme. But there's a difference between the freedom that's discussed patriotically and the freedom that's discussed in Scripture. I don't know about you, when I hear the word freedom, truthfully, I get excited because all I think of is I'm going to shout like Braveheart, you go, freedom! I mean, the whole time, I was excited when I started talking about this sermon with Pam. I was like, that means I get to put a Braveheart image up. Or even better yet, I get to do a cat pretending to be Braveheart. That's even better. Guys, I get so excited when I think about that. But his freedom is different from the biblical freedom. I like to think of patriotic as country freedom, basically as the freedom to be stupid. I mean, it is this freedom that says no other country that we do not have representation in is going to come in and tell us how we are to live. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to make right decisions. There have been times where we have made terrible decisions as a country. Been times, the beauty of America, truthfully, is that eventually, sometimes it's slow, but eventually we recognize our terrible decisions and we correct those. And that, in my opinion, is actually what makes us very different from other countries quite often. But we have the freedom to make these dumb decisions because we basically had the original Brexit and we exited from the British Empire and we said we are not going to have someone else who tyrannically enforces laws against us that we have no authority in whatsoever. So we come up. Yes, ma'am.
Is Brexit a word that's just been invented recently?
Yes, it stands for British Exit.
I feel so stupid that I knew that because it's like, was that word always
around? No. It was not. It was invented just for the British pulling out of the EU. So it is the Brexit. Yes, sir, Clark.
You're just talking about how we have the freedom to be stupid.
We also have the freedom to be intelligent.
And in the Declaration of Independence, it says that we have the right to pursue happiness.
Yes, life, liberty, and the
pursuit.
Exactly.
We have the right to pursue.
And that's why I like I like the, you know, thinking of we have the freedom to be stupid, because there are a lot of things people do that say they'll make them happy, but it don't. They think they're pursuing happy. It doesn't say that we're going to have, you know, the perfect pursuit. And there are people who have really good intentions sometimes that talk about taking other people's freedom away because they're going to make good choices for them. But that's not what America is about. America is you can be a complete idiot, okay? I'm a chaplain in a lot of companies. I deal with a lot of idiots all day long, okay? There have been a few that I told them. That's stupid. And the best part about it is sometimes I am that idiot. Anybody in the room, all right, ever heard of the term stupid tax?
Stupid what?
Stupid tax. All right, Connor, what's a stupid tax?
It's where they tax you because they know you're going to do something.
Yeah, stupid. And it's not they. It's where you go and do something stupid and it costs you money as a result. I have a lot of house projects that have a large stupid tax on them. The stupid tax was, well, case in point, I was going to put some screws. We have a mantle now at our house, so next time you guys are there, you will see this gorgeous mantle because of the Holtys. Actually, because of Heidi's dad, who had this piece of heart pine, basically, that is now our mantle, and it's up there, and I was drilling into the bricks, and I was like, you know what I need? I need a hammer drill to drill into the bricks. No, what I needed was to drill into the mortar, not into the bricks. Do you know how easy it is to drill into the mortar? It's very easy. It's basically just sand that has been compacted together. It drills out incredibly easy. Do you know what happened when I had a hammer drill and a mason bit and tried to drill into the brick? If it was a normal brick, it would have worked fine. But these are fireplace bricks, which are specifically hardened. And it went about an eighth of an inch into the brick after 30 minutes of me drilling. Smoke was coming out of the brick. Why? Stupid tax. I now own a hammer drill if anybody needs one, okay? We have that freedom. It does not mean that we will get happiness. It means we have the right to pursue it. We think of it quite often as freedom of choice. As long as your choice doesn't hurt someone else, that maybe hurt the country, okay? But you can do any old idiotic thing you want to do as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. But biblical freedom is different from that. It's not free will. We often think of freedom as free will, but biblical freedom is not free will. You have free will, okay? Now, we can debate that if anybody has free will, but we somehow or another have choice in Scripture. The original story from Scripture, the creation story, shows that. God creates us. Adam and Eve are placed in this garden, and his statement to them is, from any tree in the garden, you can eat the fruit except for one. Now, biblically, you know, that's freedom. Country-wise, we tend to think, that's not free choice. Well, they had the free choice. They could choose. They could choose to disobey God, but it wasn't good freedom. The biblical mindset of freedom is that we are in bondage. We are in bondage to things that keep us from being able to do the very thing that we were designed to do. And God has come and through his Son freed us from that bondage so that we can now live the life we were always meant to live. Scripture says this. It says, a statement that's so often used in our politics, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I've heard politicians say that over and over and over again. And they treat it like, oh, you'll know this propositional truth. But the truth that's being spoken of here is Jesus. When we know Jesus, we are set free. And that's not just free to choose anything we want. We already had that choice. It's free to choose to be who we were created to be. Scripture says that when humanity was created, upon us was placed the image of God. That we bear on ourselves something that is a reminder of the very nature of God. Our freedom is freedom to be able to live out that image. I like to think of it like this. A train, if it decided and, you know, had consciousness, now that'd be a freaky train, but I guess we have Thomas the Tank Engine, so we have some reference for that. A train could just choose to go anywhere it wants. But it's not free at that point. It's free when it's no longer hindered from being able to ride on the tracks it's supposed to be on. Think about it. If a train was just like, that's it, I'm not going to ride on the tracks anymore. Well, it might go all of a foot and then be over on its side. It'd be like, I'm really free. This is freedom. Yay. Toot, toot. I mean, that would be freedom with the train. But it wasn't designed to operate anywhere else. It was designed to go on the tracks. There are things that hinder trains, okay? Cars that get in the way. There are stops that get in the way. If a train is freed to actually do what it was meant to do, it's going to go down that track as fast as it possibly can go. It's going to ignore all the cars around it that are trying to cross the road. It's going to look at Eric and Natalie Glaze's house, and it's going to say, I can block them for hours because I am free to do that. This is not funny to you at all, Carla, but for many of us, we've been out to Eric and Natalie's house, and we understand what it's like to be landlocked at your house because a train has stopped there because somebody wanted to eat a turkey sandwich. Okay, that's what's happening at their house. Guys, that's freedom for a train. And the biblical mindset of freedom is that we were freed to do and live out what we were supposed to be. That image of God doesn't mean that we don't have free choice. We do. But think of all the times that you have freely chosen something that has not produced freedom at all. Think of all the times that you have chosen something because you have the right to do that. It's actually bound you up and made you a slave instead. All right, younger guys, I have done a lot of schooling in my life. And I would love to tell you that I am a great student. I'm a lousy student. I'm a good learner, if that makes any sense. Now, if you're a good student, when you get an assignment and you're going to write a paper, what should you do? Research. Outline. Start right away. Thank you, Robin. See, that's where I'm going. Because you're all right. You should do all of that stuff. You should not wait on that stuff to do it at the last moment. All right, now, many of you were here about 2 years ago when I finished my doctorate. Some of you participated in that. Jan, you were part of that. Because they were part of the program. You have 7 years to finish your doctorate. Now, depends on the thing, but for like my situation, I had basically about 2 years worth of seminars, which were the doctoral level courses. And then, realistically, your dissertation should take about a year. All right, I want you to think about this for just a second. How long did I say it took me? Yes. 2 years of classes. Your doctorate should take, or your dissertation should take about a year. Anybody want to speculate on how long my dissertation took? Yeah, right at 4.5 years. I finished literally on my last semester. Why? Because realistically, I'd done all the research. I did the research literally within the first 3 months of my chance to do it. And I just reached a point where I was like, yeah, I'm going to type a little. Well, I have an Xbox. I'm going to type a little. The kids want to go disc golf. I'm going to type a lot. The dogs need to be walked. I was a lousy student. Just a terrible student. And it was because of the fact that I was making choices over and over and over again that bound me rather than freed me. See, it seems like freedom of, oh, Robert, you got to go and do what you wanted. But no, what I wanted to do was finish that puppy. And instead, all I did was I felt guilt. I felt just failure for quite some time. Many of you know how cheap I am. I paid extra money for this stupid thing, and I'm still regretting that. Like, I paid money to sit there and twiddle my thumbs. That should make you be like, Robert, that's stupid. That's a stupid tax right there, okay? I made free will choices that did not free me at all. I loved graduating. It was this huge party. My parents were there. We had so much fun. I graduated from New Orleans Theological Seminary, and there were about 4,000 of us there. Not graduating, that would be really large, just 4,000 in the seminary. So there were about 1,000 people that graduated between master's levels and doctorate. It was a big, huge party, and when New Orleans does a graduation, I mean, there was grits, There was jambalaya. There was gumbo. I had the best shrimp and grits I've ever had in my life. Southern term is they would have made you want to slap your mama. I know you don't completely understand that. We're not into personal violence down there. The mindset is you want to slap your mom because you're like, why have you never given this to me before? These grits were incredible. And I postponed that party for 4.5 years. Well, for 3.5 years. Because I made free will choices that didn't help my freedom at all. Think of a lot of the choices that people are making that they're free to make that enslave them. You know, the U.S. right now is in the opioid epidemic. Do you know that the second leading traumatic cause of death in the U.S. right now is opioid overdose? I cannot speak today. Overdose. The only thing that beats it for like drug-related type stuff is alcohol. Alcohol is 80,000 deaths a year. Opioid, heroin, and other drugs, okay? Overdose is around 50,000, and the difference is with alcohol is that's long-term chronic stuff. The the heroin stuff, I have gone from being able to pronounce that, and you have watched me. I have reached a point where I can no longer pronounce it because I'm just thinking about it now. The heroin stuff is traumatic, and it's just overdose. It's just this amazing, like, quick thing. People are making these choices, these free choices, that are doing nothing but enslaving them. And it'd be real easy if it was a them, but the reality is we do it over and over and over again. Scripture says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And I guess the reason I bring this up, and it seems to not fit, is that our freedom actually ends, equals with us serving and enslaving ourselves to others. Jesus came as the only true person there ever has been, who had the ultimate freedom. And he came, and what he did was he said, well, I choose to serve them. That is the Christian way, is that we are now free to be the people who are created in the image of God. And the image of God is that God loves God, i.e. the Father loving the Son loving the Spirit loving the Father. And he loves others and longs to pull us into that love, the love of the Trinity. And that's why he called us to do the very same thing. Jesus says that all of the law can be summarized in two things: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. We are now free. We're free so that we can do that. And we have to choose that freedom over and over again. But the reality is, in our culture, when we choose freedom, it's about me. My rights, my free will. But the freedom that Jesus displayed to us is, I am free to choose you. That's why he acted as a servant. That's why he made himself a slave to us. He sacrificed all for us. And the reality is, that we know this in the church, and yet so often we don't live it out. And I think it's because, well, how many of you as kids had a slip and slide? Awesome things. All right, now, did you do like advanced slip and slide type stuff where you do multiple hoses? So you have a hose going to the slip and slide, and then you have another hose that you spray on top of it to add more water. Yeah. I'm a big slip and slide fan. As a youth minister, you can buy these 100 yard sheets of Visqueen. They're 100 yards long and about 5 yards wide, so 15 feet. And we would take them and go down a drainage ditch, so downhill typically, and we would take baby shampoo and spread it on top of it. Why baby shampoo, you may ask? Because it doesn't hurt your eyes. And then we would slide. I mean, 100 yards. Just loved it. And you had to be very strategic on how you did the hoses and such, because you wanted enough water on there for the soap to be able to froth up and such, but you didn't want so much that washed it off. So we'd have one hose that was, a person was constantly spraying on there with a sprinkler, and then we'd have another hose that was just for that initial, like when you come down because you want to hit a lot of water and let that take you. And so what would happen is they would start spraying it the second started somebody started running. But you know what they would do before them? If you were a good kid, you know how to stop off the water. How do you stop off the water? Robin, you're starting to say, how do you stop? You kink, yeah, you kink the hose. You do this. Because everybody knows, if there's a kink in the hose, what happens to the water? It stops. If you don't know that, unroll your hose for the first time in the winter and try to water something. You're going to be frustrated very quickly. Those kinks stop the flow of what's supposed to be going through that hose. And our selfishness stops the flow of the freedom we're supposed to experience with Christ. Our freedom is supposed to free us from our ego. It's supposed to free us from all this stuff that society tries to put on us, where if you're a real man, you do this, or if you're a real woman, you do this. And instead, we're supposed to be able to say, I was created in the image of God. He made me to be me. I can be me and I don't have to live up to your standard. But we start picking those standards and it kinks the flow of God's Spirit through us. I mean, it's there, the pressure's there, but nothing's coming through. In the church, we get so focused on all these other things that are not of Christ. We have been freed to just focus on Jesus, and all the other stuff doesn't matter. We have to focus on Jesus and follow the path that we have been given. That's why Paul talks about in Jesus, there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. Now, circumcision was very important in the Jewish culture. It was a big, big deal. But Jesus is saying, at one time this was helpful, now it's no longer helpful. You need to be able to focus on me, and that other stuff doesn't matter. If you're Jewish, be circumcised. If you're not Jewish, don't. And all the time in church, we are bringing in these extra things that keep us from actually being able to serve one another and to love God. If you're a real Christian, you do this. If you're a real follower of Jesus Christ, you do this. Realistically, if you're a real follower of Jesus Christ, you were freed to love God and to love others. Those are our train tracks. Those are the tracks we were supposed to be pouring down. Scripture says, so my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. See, we need to remember that we have died to all the other stuff. We have died to all the other things that said, this is how you're holy, and now we are alive to just being holy and righteous through Jesus Christ. When we remember that, it doesn't matter what type of Bible you have, as long as that Bible talks about Jesus. It doesn't matter whether or not you wear a WWJD bracelet, which are no longer in style anyhow, because all that matters is, are you actually following Jesus, not whether or not you have that. It doesn't matter if the church you go to has choir robes or the pastor is wearing blue jeans. It doesn't matter, because all that matters is, are we following Jesus? And when we follow Jesus, we end up being a slave to everyone else because we serve like he does. It's a different type of freedom. It's a freedom to be the people we were meant to be. It means certain things matter a lot and certain things don't matter at all. I'm going to give you a case in point. If you were raised in church, you heard the story of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego a lot. Okay, it's this wonderful story that's really, really cool. But the short version of it is this, that the king builds an idol to himself, and it is monstrously huge and gold. And he says, at the sound of the trumpet, everybody's supposed to bow down and worship. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being good Hebrews, were not going to do that. And when the trumpet went off and everyone else bowed down, well, what did they do? They stayed standing. And the king said, if you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into, I always like this because the song is, you know, thrown in the fiery furnace. What other type of furnace is there? That's a non-fiery furnace. Well, it's a non-working furnace at that point. Yes, you're thrown into the fiery furnace. And so I'm going to give you another chance. And they still didn't bow down. And the story is they're thrown into the furnace. Actually, it's made hotter, so to the point that the people who throw them into the furnace end up dying. And the story says that they looked in, they saw four people walking around in the furnace instead of three. And the king finally calls out and says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out here. And they come out, and whoever the fourth person was, who I believe was Jesus, stays in the furnace. Guys, this is a story of three Hebrews saying, I won't bow. But the thing I love about it is they were in that culture beforehand. Now, there were things we know they didn't do. They didn't eat certain foods. We know that because they were being good Hebrews. But they lived in that culture. And they didn't live in that culture protesting it the whole time. We don't have record of that. They lived in the culture and they did certain parts of the culture. They knew what they could say yes to and they knew what they had to say no to. They didn't say a good Hebrew walks around and skips instead of walking like everyone else. No, they walked like everybody else. But when it came to bowing down to a false god, they knew they had to say no to that. See, you are free to do so many different things, but there are things that interfere with your relationship with Christ, and you have to say no to that. We are free to choose what we want to drink. You can choose Diet Coke like me, or you can not get cancer from the saccharum, one of the two. You can drink coffee. You can drink milk. You can drink milk at formal occasions like you weird Wisconsinites do. And I can't remember who it was. Somebody sent me a photo of it was the Glazes. They sent me a photo of a quinceañero. Did I pronounce that right? Quinceañera? Okay. That they were at, and they served milk. You guys have invaded Hispanic culture now, okay? You have ruined every Hispanic restaurant I will go to from now on. Guys, you're free to do all that stupid stuff. And then every now and then, there are moments where you go, yeah, that's no longer a choice about something that doesn't matter. That's about whether or not I follow Jesus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said yes to a lot of different things. But when it came to saying yes to something that would keep them from focusing on God, they knew they had to say no to that. Because that's true freedom. They were free to be who it is they knew they were supposed to be. There are a lot of things that we are still in bondage to as Christians. Sometimes we don't even know what it is we need to say no to and what it is it's okay to say yes to. There's this prayer that Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote. If you ever read his letters and papers from prison, when he was in prison for the possible assassination of Hitler, which he actually wasn't in prison for that. He was in prison for something else, and then they found out that he possibly assassinated Hitler or was trying to, and so they killed him. So when they didn't think he had possibly tried to assassinate Hitler, they let him write letters and send him off. This is one of the prayers he wrote. It says this: Oh God, early in the morning I cry to you. Help me to pray and to concentrate my thoughts on you. I cannot do this alone. In me there is darkness, but with you there is light. I am lonely, but you do not leave me. I am feeble in heart, but with you there is help. I am restless, but with you there is peace. In me there is bitterness, but with you there is patience. I do not understand your ways, but you know the way for me. Restore me to liberty and enable me to live now that I may answer before you and before me. Lord, whatever this day may bring, your name be praised. He said in his letters that this is what he prayed daily. While he was in prison by the Third Reich, he prayed this daily. And while there are many different parts of this prayer I love, the part I wanted to bring out is, I do not understand your ways, but you know the way for me. I don't always understand what it means to live out the freedom he wants to give me. Because so often, I still mistake freedom with free choice. I still mistake freedom being like, I can choose anything, forgetting that a lot of the choices I make don't bring me freedom at all. Instead, they just bind me up again. God knows those ways. He's faithful to tell us, when are you being selfish? He's faithful to be able to tell me, Robert, when are you making a stupid choice that keeps you from loving me and from loving others? And he's not hiding those from us. We need to be turning to him all the time, saying, God, give me your freedom. I'm going to end with a quote, but before I end, I was going to ask, does anybody have anything to add? Okay, then I'm going to end with a quote from another believer. His name's Soren Kierkegaard. I quote him pretty frequently. I love him. I love him for a couple of different reasons. One, he is a strong believer in Jesus Christ, or was a strong believer in Jesus Christ. I guess he still is, but I don't know that you'd call it belief when you're in the presence of Christ. He sees him now face to face. But he's also a well-known philosopher. That's how you've probably heard of him. He was the father of existentialism. The way he described life with Jesus was, now with God's help, I shall become myself. That's freedom. It's not the freedom like Jesus goes and says, now you can make any stupid choice you want. You already have that. We are freed from the powers and principalities. We are freed from sin. We are freed from bondage that wants to keep us from experiencing the real freedom of Christ. That means true freedom. Freedom like a train that is going 90 miles an hour because it's on its tracks. I hope you know that freedom. I hope you experience that freedom. I hope we are all smart enough to pray over and over and over, Father, I don't know your ways, but you know the way for me. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, help us to know your freedom. Help us to experience it, to live it out. And as we are serving others, may we introduce them to that freedom also. Not the freedom just of free choices, but the freedom to be who we were supposed to be from the beginning. People who bear your image. Pray this in the name of the Son. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the perfect bearer of your image, because he is your very representation. May we look like him. Amen. Guys, let's sing together.